Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 15th of December. I'm Paul White. Glad you're with me today. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We are entering what is probably considered the last section of the 14th chapter, where Paul turns his attention towards the order within the church service. Up until this point in the 14th chapter, he's dealt with prophecy and tongues and the difference in the two and how they relate to the individual and how they relate to unbelievers. We've dealt with that for some time now. Now we turn inward into the church service to where I think you will find early in this passage what I consider the greatest difference between the early church and the modern church. Now, without any verses or any context, if I were to ask you, what do you think the biggest difference is? And I'm not going to say you're wrong or right, but this is rhetorical, of course. Not everyone can answer this as a podcast, but think of my point in doing this is for you to think about it. If I were to say, what is the biggest difference between the modern church and the early church? I think most people would say the early church walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. That seems to be, in my Pentecostal background, that's what I heard a lot of when people would talk about how the church has fallen, we're not what we used to be, we don't resemble the church of the book of Acts. What they meant and would often go ahead and say was that there should be healings and people raised from the dead and miracles. And we do see some healings and miracles in the book of Acts. It's not as if every meeting they mention it, but we do see it, and we see that the book of Acts describes these things as coming out of the word of grace. And so those miracles, we have made it out to be as if every time they got together, the sick were healed. And yet Paul gets sick and also has to wait around while some of his companions are sick before they can join him or before they can move from town to town. And so it's not as if there was never incidents of sickness or disease in the early church because they were walking with some with a power in which none of that existed. However, based upon how Paul teaches 1 Corinthians 14, it seems to me that the church did have something in common that is not evident in the modern church. Let's read the first few verses of our study in verse 20, beginning in verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Let's stop here for now, kind of in the middle of a thought, but I want to point a couple of things out. First of all, take care of one little thing here where you hear people say the early church didn't call it church. They were the church. I've heard that argument. When what do you mean you go to church? You are the church. And I think we're trying to make the point when we say those kind of things, that the body of Christ is not in a building. The body of Christ is you. You're part of it. You're not by yourself, but you're part of it. Yet in verse 28, listen again, if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Church is a gathering. It's a corporate gathering. Paul uses the phrase in church, not in the church, but in church, much like we would say, like I was in church this week, and this happened. So let's back off a little bit of being the grammar police, that when people say things like, I went to church, and we go, oh, you didn't go to church, you are the church. Okay, I know I am the church, but it's also biblical for me to say I went to church. Here's a good example of that in that 28th verse. Now, the verse that to me pops out as the thing that's different than the modern church is, I want you to listen again to all of the things people bring to the table in verse 26. Whenever you come together, each one of you has a song, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. And then Paul says, let it be done to edify or to build up. He doesn't say, keep your mouth shut, you're in church, there's only one person supposed to talk. To me, the internal evidence of, and we don't know because we weren't there, but we do have the evidence of Scripture. The evidence of Scripture to me says the biggest difference in the early church and the modern church is that the early church was participatory, and the modern church, we observe. According to 1 Corinthians 14:26, each one of you has a song, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, and an interpretation. That doesn't happen now. In fact, we, in a lot of circles, discourage anybody else from talking. It's all about one individual. And I don't mean there should be a free-for-all. Paul's going to go put order. That's the whole point of this chapter. And it also doesn't mean there shouldn't be teaching or preaching, because that's particularly when you sort of watch a blow-by-blow account from the book of Acts, that's a big part of the local church, is preaching and teaching. But it also does indicate that the early church didn't come together, sit down, shut up, let one person run the show, and then go home. And what has happened, I think, in the church, one of the reasons why we've become so growth-oriented and so build on and explode and get bigger is because we're built around observation and not participation. If we were built around participation, we would need to be smaller, because you can't participate if there's 1,000 people. But you almost can't help but participate if there's 10. And I'm not trying to indicate big is bad and little is good. I'm simply making a point that seems evident from this text. The early church, Paul has to instruct them because they all bring something to the table, and they need instruction on how to do that in the church decently and in order, which is coming up, but they need instruction on how to do that in the church and still be able to exercise their gifts. I think that one of the reasons why we're struggling to see people develop in their spiritual gifts is they're not given a lot of chances to do that in a corporate setting. And if you're not given a chance to do it in a corporate setting, it's going to be tough to hone it. It's why I love the season I'm in. I'm spending more time in smaller places, living rooms and coffee houses. And I get called in from people. This is a big part of my travel ministry. Probably half the stuff I go to are listeners like you who have 10 friends, and they want me to come to their living room and teach, and we find a way to make that happen. And they help support that trip and make it happen, and we go in and build relationships with people. We've done that all over America. To me, what it says is that there are hungry people, hungry for community, hungry for relationship, hungry to participate. They're just looking for an outlet. I think the early church encouraged that outlet. And we need to find a way in our big environments, nothing wrong with big environment, we need to find a way to make that happen, however we have to do it, because that's to the health of the body at large. We go on farther into this text tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.